And so welcome everybody this morning. Praise the Lord. We're glad to have you. We are going to continue our epic series. And if you missed any part of it so far, we invite you to check out the replay. I think you're going to be blessed. Praise the Lord. This morning we're going to continue on that series. But first, I'm going to allow time for a follow-up on the previous two lessons, and particularly yesterday, since I had to close the room early. And, so today we're going to be talking on the next part of this series after we finish covering the previous ones. But first again, welcome. Everybody, glory to God. Good to have you here. So, we talked yesterday about pushing old limits to new horizons. We looked at the definition for push, the definition for limits, and the definition for horizons. And we encourage ourselves, to keep moving forward and not to stand in one place. There's more that God wants us to have, but we've got to enlarge the place of our tent, he said, stretch for the curtains of our habitations, and lengthening our cords and strengthening our stakes. All these things that the Lord told us. And moreover, we know his promise that he will always be with us. We're not going to do any of these things by our strength, but the joy of the Lord is our strength. And he has enabled us to do these things. In fact, deposited within us the ability to do these things, the capacity. And he wants us to do this for his glory. Hallelujah. And he put a blessing on Adam and Eve from the beginning that they should increase. They should be fruitful. They should multiply. God always wants us to increase, to do more. Praise the Lord. So this epic series is a follow-up on the prophetic repairs series. Also a reminder of what the Lord is doing and wants to do in our lives this year. And we don't want to miss this chance. That's why we keep reminding ourselves of it. Scripture says, as you see the day approaching, we remind one another, we exhort one another daily. And we should not forsake the assembly of one another. So, well, let's get to it this morning. If you would like to share, I know Sister Maggie was sharing yesterday and she had to kind of close the room. And I said she'll go first this morning if she's able to do that. And then any other persons that want to share on yesterday's lesson or day one of the epic series, which was to engage. That lesson was about the rules of engagement. Subtitle, bring your A game. Praise the Lord. So here we go. Let's share with one another. Afterwards, we'll get to today's specific lesson. Praise the Lord. Good morning. All right, Sister Maggie, are you ready to finish up from where you left off yesterday? And others should prepare themselves to share. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Good morning, sir. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone. And good afternoon. Yes, I was speaking yesterday, but I couldn't finish. It's not that I have too much sort of to say, but the little things the Lord was ministering to me that helped me and gingered me to a new level. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, since I have the opportunity, I will briefly touch on the other day when Pastor was talking about our engaging, you know, like all these great things the Lord has promised us. We discover they won't just come like that. We got to contend. We got to engage so that we'll be able to get the promises to become ours. And the Lord has been explaining it to us how to get there. You know, engaging and pushing and all that. The epic. Yeah. So the first day that after talking about the your epic has begun, and Pastor was talking about, you know, the letter E, calling it the engage part of the of what we are supposed to do. Some few things came to me that day. Excuse me. And I just loved it, because as Pastor was speaking, it was making me to feel, you know, so happy that I belong to the Lord. So happy that we belong to the Lord, and the Lord has done a lot of things to make us to live and enjoy, you know, enjoy the Lord to the utmost before he comes to take us, and also to prove to the devil that is under our feet. So listening to that topic of engage, it just made me to like feel, okay, Satan, we put you right where you belong. You belong under our feet, and there you will be. We will not allow you to go beyond where you are supposed to be. We put you in check. Praise the Lord. And as I was thinking about that, it was making me to remember, you know, we used to say among ourselves those days that the devil is like a football, or is it football or soccer they call it here? You know, he's just like a ball that we kick here and there. If you find him in your corner, you don't allow him to stay. You kick him out, you kick him off. And as you kick him, he lands somewhere else. You know, if he lands in your spot, you don't allow him to stay too. You kick him out of the place. You kick him, you don't, because if you stay, if you leave him, you don't kick while your fellow saints are kicking and putting him out, he will settle in your area. And you know, when the devil settles, you know what that means. So that gingered me up. That, yeah, I got to engage indeed. No matter how I feel, I got to engage, combat and fight. You know, like, you know, the song we used to sing, fight on the battle, brethren, we come here not to stay. If we fight, we are going to win. And the thing that is so beautiful about it is that we know assuredly that the Lord has furnished us and he has equipped us to engage and win. We cannot be defeated. And while I was thinking about that, there's a scripture that came to me in, I think it is in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4 verse 4. That 1 John chapter 4, let me go there. It says, verse 4, it says, ye are of God, little children, and you have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Who? That is a lot. We are of God. Assuredly, we are of God. And we have overcome the devil and his cohorts. The Lord has put us on the winning side. We have overcome him in Christ. We have overcome him. And having known that we have overcome him, and that the Lord that is in us is greater than he that is outside, the devil and his cohorts. Therefore, we engage with confidence. we engage with authority, knowing that whatever it is, we are winning. And that did a lot to me. And, you know, it's a great reminder. And I'm so glad that we can put ourselves in remembrance of that. Then Pastor was talking, and he was talking about the seven things for rule of engagement. Listening, I was enjoying them. And when it got to the number seven aspect, I really love that. I really, really love that. Because when I heard that what we have taken over, number seven, what we have taken over, we should establish and set up our banner right there. A lot of times we take over, we possess and all that. But as time goes on, we let loose, we let go, we let down our guards, and we lose it, sort of. That's the way I saw it when he was saying it. And I really love that when we get the territory, when we have taken over the land, we should establish and set our banner right there. We should mark our territory. Oh, wow. Praise the Lord. When that came to me, a scripture came to my mind. And that scripture is in Proverbs 23, verse 23. And that scripture says, in Proverbs 23:23, it says, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. We buy these things. We get these things. We do not sell them out again. We have possessed, having known all those number one to number six, having done them, now that we have taken over our possession, we should not lose it. Praise the Lord. We should not lose it. We should not give it up again. All these things I wrote down. And I said, you should not let anything buy it back from you. Don't trade it again. You have won it. You have acquired it. You have pursued. You have gotten back what belongs to you. Keep it. Don't give it away for anything. Buy the truth. Do not sell it. So I was thinking, I said, no wonder the Lord has been telling us some things, because we're on the winning side. He has been saying things like, resist the devil steadfastly in faith and he will flee. You know, things like that. That because we have that power and that victory in us and with us, day in, day out, we have that ability in Christ to resist the devil. Wherever we see him, we push him out. We don't allow him to settle. Wow. I saw that somewhere in, I think, 1 Peter 5, verse 9, and James 4, 7. And then another part that says, give no place to the devil. Wherever you see him, engage him. There is nothing to put us to fear, because we are on the winning side. So I love that. And then Pastor was talking, and as he was talking, he was saying, mark your territory. And he started explaining about branding, you know, aspect in the message. So I was just imagining it. And I said, I should brand myself. I should brand my life with Jesus. So I started thinking, and some things started coming to me. You know, there was one time I was, where was I now? Okay. I was traveling, and I carried, there was this bag one of my children gave me. It's a kind of set. They call it Gucci or Gucci or something like that. They wrote it on it. They put something like the head of a lion or something, all those kind of things. I carried that set of bags. And when I was passing the bags, you know, there is a place you get to, you remove your shoes and so on, and you put your bag and things like that. When I was putting my those bags, some people came to me and said, wow, this is beautiful. Ah, this is this. The way they were doing, I was like, so what is wrong with them now? What is wrong? And they were touching the bag and talking and everything, the handbag, the one that is the purse, the one that is like the carry-on that I carry. And they were just like, you could see they were excited about that name, Gucci. So I started thinking when Pastor was speaking, I said, that is how I'm supposed to be. I should brand myself with Jesus to the point that when people see me, they see Jesus. Wherever I am, you know, they'll say, ah, yes, Omolon is a child of God. Ah, this one is Jesus one. No, this one is, that is how it's supposed to be. And there is this, what do they call it? There was one glasses somebody gave me sometime, the frame. They wrote on that frame, what's the name of this frame now? Paloma Picasso. That's what they wrote at the side of the something. I didn't know anything about it. Somebody saw it and said, excuse me, please, let me see that frame. Say, wow, Paloma Picasso. So I was like, what about it? And the person started talking and saying, oh, that is this. Oh, that is that. That is how I want to brand myself. That is how we want to brand ourselves with Jesus. So that when, wherever we are, that's how I thought to myself. Wherever I am, we'll be Jesus friendly. If I'm in a place, in a domain, in my territory, it will be known, branded for Jesus. Right there, they hear his name. They hear praises coming out from wherever I am, wherever I stay. They hear the word being played. They hear in the word. There are things that mark the place for Christ. There are things that brand wherever I am, that this is a Jesus territory. And it doesn't allow anything that doesn't represent God. Anything that is not of God, that anything that is not of light, does not dwell there. Because the place is branded for Jesus. Wherever I am, darkness is disallowed. That's why I got to engage, because darkness is disallowed. God is light. Like 1 John told us, he said, in him, there is no darkness at all. So wherever there is darkness, because I'm branded and because I'm engaging, darkness cannot stay. Praise the Lord. That has been doing something to me, and it has encouraged me to stand up for Jesus no matter what. I'm branded. My premises is branded. In my premises, all these worldly, ungodly movies, they are not tolerated. Like I always say, some people may come to my house, they want to watch the TV, and I say, I'm sorry, excuse me, this kind of movie, we don't accept it here. We don't watch this kind of thing. It may look harsh, but it's because I'm branded. Jesus is written all over me. He's written all over where I am, whatever I'm doing. So wherever they see it, you can call me Jesus, what do they call it, Jesus freak or something, where I don't care. I'm branded. Like all those names that are written on stuff, and people shout and hail it and want to kill themselves for it to get it. Because I had to ask my son, I said, this thing you gave me, what about it? I said, mommy, that bag is very expensive. That's why they are doing like that. Okay, so I'm branded with Jesus. I'm so expensive, valuable. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. To stop at that, not to take too much time. So that was what I got with that engage when Pastor was speaking. And it has encouraged me to fight and fight, because I've been equipped and I cannot lose. I am of God. Praise the Lord. Then yesterday, Pastor was talking about the push aspect. And when he was talking about that, and he was giving the definition, you know, what limit is, what horizon is, what push is, he said, having known all this, I need to put off every limit that I've put on God. Even the limit I have put on myself, I must put them off. And as he was speaking, you know, I was thinking in my mind, I said, I love this. I really love this. I really want to experience all these things. But some things may be hindering that I need to deal with. And that was how I came to the conclusion that there are things I got to take off. Those things that are limiting me. Those things that are not allowing me to see my horizon. Those things that are, according to the definition, that are restricting me, you know, restricting this, the
portion, I mean, the path that I'm supposed to get to, what I'm supposed to be, the permissible size that I'm supposed to be, the possible size that the Lord has earmarked me to be. There are some things pulling me down, not allowing me to see. I got to deal with them. And one of them that I saw was about old age. And I spoke a little about that yesterday, because everything you want to do these days, they say, no, you shouldn't be doing that because you are old. This one, I spoke about that yesterday. And I said, the more one says one is old, because that's what I experienced, I feel weaker than I'm supposed to be. And things show up to confirm, you know, and support that statement of being old. I am not old in Jesus' name. As long as I'm here on earth, it's because I'm still useful for the Lord. That's why I'm here. Because it has made me to leave some things that I used to do. Like if for instance, you want to fast, those days without breaking a day, you can fast for 1 week, just drinking water. But these days you hear, mommy, you are old. You have been doing this all. Just do it small, little by little. Then you say, by 12. That's why you are feeling dizzy. You break by 12 or 3 o'clock. It's enough. Mommy, you are old now, but now I've taken that limit off me in the name of Jesus. Whatever I want to do for the Lord, as Caleb said, what I did 40 years ago, I can still do even now that I am this old, 80 something. Then what is wrong with me? I'm not up to 80 yet. I can still do a lot. So I was saying it yesterday after we closed. I said, yes, God has enabled me to put my feet on the neck of weakness, on the neck of old age. Praise the Lord. Now I'm stamping on old age. I'm not old. No. Don't limit me. I got to remove you. Praise the Lord. And that is what I'm doing, removing old age. Then while I was thinking about that, the next statement that came to me was, you got to remove complacency. Whether it is it complacency or complacency or how do they call it, but you understand what I'm saying. So when I heard that, I said, this is something. Complacency. What and what is this complacency? So I started thinking about it. Then I started having some clue that it is, you know, that kind of attitude that I have that says within me, you don't have to bother yourself. You know, everything ends here on earth. You don't need it. At this age, you don't need these things. Just stay where you are. Don't exert yourself. Whatever God wants to do for you, we do. Whatever we be. Something like that. You know, that God will do whatever He wants to do for you. You don't need to push hard anymore. You have done enough. You know, just resting on my, you know, how do they say, resting on one's words. Yeah, that's the kind of way I've been feeling these days. So when that complacency came in, that word came in, I was like, wow. And then I was thinking, I said, but maybe the Bible says we should not labor for the meat that perishes. So I just laughed. I said, this is a way that the devil uses to hinder many Christians. We are used, many Christians, you know, with my interaction with many brethren, I see that this thing they call complacency is really operating in us. Because instead of pushing, I'll be saying, labor not for the meat that perisheth. All these things, the things of the world, we go with the world, this one. And that will make me to sit down, rapata, on my seat and not moving and not doing anything. But the Lord is asking us to push. So I was looking for what will explain this complacency for me. And by the time I was looking, what I saw jolted me from my seat, like quickened me. And I would like to share one or two things that I discovered while I was trying to navigate that word, complacent. I said, so complacent. Who is a complacent person? And checking through, I got to know a complacent person is somebody who is content with himself or his situation currently, or position, even though he may feel that that position is not the best place to be. He needs to improve it, but he will not do anything about it. That is a complacent person. He may see it, but he won't do anything about it because he has sort of been satisfied with the past successes that he had. So he's no longer willing to, or he's no longer looking for new opportunities. He just feels conceited where he is because, okay, I've made it. I've done this. I've done that. No room for improvement anymore. And he will just stay there. Even if the thing is telling him, you can move forward. You can do this. You can't, he will relax. So it also said, it makes one, when one is complacent, one loses ambition. And I saw that really was working against me because I said, well, what next? What are you, you know? Like when I came to this country, my children say, oh, mommy, so you're going to work and you're going to do this. I say, for what? There's no need. I'm retired. There's no need. I'm not. Because why did I say that? Because I saw that I have to do this thing they call the board exam because I'm a nurse from somewhere else. I have to do my board exam, but complacency wouldn't allow me to go for it. So when, you know, I was saying I'm going back to school, it's part of what I was saying. Even if I don't use it, because that's what the devil has been saying. What do you need it for? You don't need to do this. You don't need to do that. I am going for it. I am a nurse. I will do that board exam. Whether I use it or I don't use it, I will do it. I will refuse to be complacent. And it says also, when I was reading it, that one will become passive. You start sticking to what you are familiar with instead of challenging yourself. You stay in your comfort zone. Ah, I said, wow. This is something. I'll stay in my comfort zone. Even if I feel and the Lord is even talking to me that you can still do better. You can still get this. You can still get, I will sit and I'll be complacent, feeling satisfied with my abilities that I no longer feel or need to try harder. All those things I discovered when I was searching through. And it also says it can lead to, you know, complacency can lead to lack of motivation. It can cause decreased productivity. I said, no wonder the Lord says we should push. Don't stay where you are. Because if you are complacent, Maggie, you cannot attain where the Lord is taking you. If you are complacent, it will prevent you from identifying areas of growth in your personal life, in your spiritual life, because you will feel contented. You don't want to strive anymore. You become stagnant. That's the word I'm looking for. You become stagnant. And you know when you are stagnant, there is no one spot for living things. If you remain on a spot, you either go back or you die. You have to keep moving. That is why part of the characteristics of living things is mobility. You got to move. You got to move. If you don't move spiritually, physically, in every aspect, career-wise, you will be stagnant. And being stagnant, one is preparing to be shut out, to be dead, whether career-wise or whatever. You see that? So all those things I discovered when I was looking at the word unpleasant. So I now said to myself, like Pastor is saying, I got to push. I got to push myself. I got to strive. And one of the things I saw was, it says disengagement. When you are complacent, you no longer engage. I said, and that is what Pastor is telling us. We should engage. So when I'm complacent, I don't see the need to engage anymore. I don't see the need to to fight through and win the battle. I feel, so I said, so what do I do? And I was thinking, okay, spiritually, complacency can lead one to spiritual bankruptcy, if there is anything like that. Because all the things you even had, because you are not adding to it, you begin to lose those things that I have discovered. Things you don't use, you lose them. Like if you have a skill, you are not using it. You know, you have been equipped to fight, to contend with the devil. If you refuse to do that, you start losing it little by little. Those things that you have been built up to do, because you become complacent, you won't be able to do them as time goes on. So I started thinking within myself. I said, this complacency that the Lord is talking to me about is a silent killer. Because you will not see what complacency is doing until the damage is done. So I got a piece of paper and I wrote this thing. In fact, a book. And I wrote it because Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 2 came to me. That all these things that I'm discovering, I should write them down. So I put them where I can see them every day. And I did that because of Habakkuk 2:2 that says you should write the vision. You should make it plain so that whosoever read it can run and do something. So as I'm seeing it, it's easy not to forget. And that has done a lot of things to me, because it has made me to shake myself, because I was saying, so how can I remove this complacency? And I was looking through and I found out to remove complacency spiritually, because this thing affects us. Spiritual concept is there, the physical concept is there, the career concept, in every aspect, you see. So I started saying, I have to change my mindset. I have to make the loins of my mind guarded with the word, because the word will propel me into where I'm supposed to be. I have to change my mindset. I have to take on challenges as they come. I stand up to it. I don't run back to my comfort zone. I face the challenge. And then even if challenges don't come, I set goals that I need to achieve. And that is what I've done. I itemize things that I want to do. And as I'm doing them, I'll be taking them. You know, can you believe part of the complacency that I had is like driving. Since I came to this country, I don't drive. In this house, there are two cars. I said, I can't go and be doing all this wahala of studying and going to, what do they call the place now? Where you go to get your license. You have to do tests. You have to do written tests. I said, all that I've done in the Bahamas, I've done in Nigeria. I'm not doing anything. I'm not driving anything. And I will just sit there. If the children don't drive me to where I'm going, I'll just sit. I won't drive. And the children have been saying, so, but you have been driving. Even before you had your last baby, you were driving. So what is wrong that you all through in Bahamas, you were driving. So what is wrong now? Complacency. I refused. So I have dusted that now. I'm studying for the test. I'm going for the test, get my license, because I want to push to the level that the Lord has sent me to. I want to remove the limits, those things that are limiting me. And I will soon finish. The last one that came to me as I was thinking about the complacency and writing things down, I was hearing something called ease. So I said, ease. What about ease? Say, don't be at ease. I said, but when one is at ease, I think it's a good thing. You're at ease. You there's no pain. There is no struggle. There's no struggle. There's no trouble. Everything is just peaceful and everything. And then Amos chapter 6 verse 1 came to me. And when that Amos chapter 6 verse 1 came, I went to it. And what did it say? It says, let me look for it. It says, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion. That's a serious thing. So what about this ease? Then the Lord started ministering to me that this ease that he's talking about is like the first cousin of complacency. It's more or less the same with complacency. You can be at ease in other aspects, like, okay, things are easy for you, you want things to go smoothly and no stress, no this one. But that is not what the Lord is saying in this Amos 6:1. It is not that one he's saying. He is saying the one according to what I received. This one is being complacent. This being at ease in Zion is being complacent. So I started thinking about that and I started searching. And it explained to me that it, being at ease is like you have leisure, there's freedom, there is no effort. You just relaxed and carefree, and you have an attitude or frame of, you know, no problem, everything will be fine. That it shouldn't be like that with us. Because when it is like that, as Christians in the spiritual, when we are sitting like that, we are careless and we are indifferent. I said, wow. So I started remembering that there is a place the Lord was talking to women about being at ease. And I went there. And that I found in Isaiah chapter 32, verse 9. It says, rise up, ye women that are at ease. Hear my voice, ye careless daughters. Give ear unto my speech. Ah. And a lot of things is said about that, about being at ease. It's like when you are at ease in this complacent form that the Lord is speaking about in Zion, you are not doing what you are supposed to do. You are not you are not striving as the Lord expects us to. That's the way I saw it. And it gingered me up. And I started thinking, I said, there are some things that can prevent us from pushing. Because when we are complacent, when we are at ease, the way the Lord is explaining it, we can't push. And those kind of things, they can be bad experiences. Because I have experienced some things that made me to say, enough is enough. I'm not going further than this. But those things are limiting factors. Those bad experiences that one has had, the failures that one has had before, or disappointments that one has had before, or, you know, fear of making mistake. Oh, I don't want to make mistake. I want everything to. It makes one to be complacent. You know, even spiritually, there are some things that happen that make one to feel like, oh, I don't want to go that route anymore. But the Lord is calling you to that route. Even if you fall, the Lord says you should stand up. So when I was thinking about that, Acts 20 verse 24 came to me. And what did that Acts 20:24 say? I will round up now. I'm sorry for taking time. It says, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. So that encouraged me that no matter what they may be, no matter what these things may be, no matter what they are, I should not allow them to move me. They should not do anything to me. I should not count my life dear. If I'm counting my life dear, I won't be able to stretch myself. I won't be able to push forward to get into that goal of the overcomer because of fear or complacency or this one or that one. I got to push past those things. I wouldn't count my life dear unto me. He that wants to save his life, the Bible says, will lose it. And he that loses his life for the sake of the Lord will gain it back. So that encouraged me. And while reading that, what do they call it now? This Isaiah 32 verse 9. That Isaiah 32 verse 9. It began to say, let me go to it. Isaiah 32 from verse 9. I was reading it and I got to a point in verse 15. It says, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. That is how we continue to engage, we continue to push. And then when I thought about we continue to push, I now got, before I used to say, push means pray until something happens. Now, when I got to that verse 15, what came to me was pray until, that's you, is until the spirit, that is S, the spirit. Pray until the spirit be poured upon you from on high. That high is the H. So I say, okay, I got another one for push now. Another one for push is pray until the spirit be poured upon you from on high. Glory to God. That did something to me. I say, yes, I have another one. Now it's not only pray until something happens, but according to this, Isaiah 32:15, it is pray until the spirit be poured upon you from on high. So I got to push and push and push until I've overwhelmed, I'm overwhelmed by the spirit of the Lord. So that is what the Lord fed me with and used to encourage me. And I thank the Lord for it. And I'm looking forward to many more. And I'm thanking God for the changes, the adjustment, and the things He is achieving in me because of this messages I'm hearing. It is wonderful. To God be the glory. Thank you very much, sir, for allowing the Holy Spirit to use you. It's doing something to me. It's changing me. It's changing me. It's taking me to remove the limits that are on me and strive for the mastery and overcoming and becoming what the Lord wants me to be. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. God bless you. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. I've taken so much time. I'm sorry. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Good morning again and good afternoon. I yield my mic. God bless you. Amen.
Amen. Wow. 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 Thank you, Sister Maggie. That was so powerful and so rich. And what a revelation that she brought out concerning so many things. In fact, there is no need to preach or give another lesson today. We're going to just continue on the review because that was so full and no need to apologize. You know, we got to use discernment sometimes when we see that the Spirit of God is moving in one direction. Just let Him move. There's no need to apologize or abbreviate what the Lord is doing. So I recognize that it was flowing. Just let it flow. Praise God. You know, that was so good. And some of the key things, I mean, that's like, you know, a full lesson in itself. Some of the key things that, you know, came out of that for me was the blockers, and I call them blockers and enablers. Actually, we use this phrase on my job, you know, in my job, we use this place, you know, what are the blockers and what are the enablers? If you're on a project, the blockers are, external factors that you cannot control that preventing you from moving forward. It could be that, you know, you're waiting on another external team to do something, which is a prerequisite to the one that you have to do, and you can't do it until they do theirs. So that becomes a blocker to your project. So we call those blockers, you know, and I like the way that she was talking about, you know, these limiting factors. I call them blockers. They are blocking our progress. And then what are the enablers? You know, enablers are things that, you know, make it easier for you to move forward. You know, for instance, you might have experience in that area of the project. That's an enabler. Maybe you've already done it before. And so, you know, they give you a project target date of 3 months. An enabler could be, maybe you are already actually working on it and you already gained some ground. So that's an enabler. Enabler could also be the confidence that you have. You know, we do things like, you know, vote of confidence in the ability to meet the goals. You know, those are enablers. Well, what is our vote of confidence? Well, it's actually in the Lord, because the Lord is the one that gave us all these incredible promises. Deuteronomy 31 and 6 and 8. You know, it is the Lord that God that doth go with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. you know, Isaiah 41:10, the Lord will strengthen your hands, he will help you, and many, many other things. Those are enablers, the promises of God. They are enablers. You know, in fact, someday we're going to come back and do a full lesson on these blockers and enablers, because they're so, so powerful. Thank you, Stamagi, for sharing. You know, you'll be staring yourself. You know, shake yourself off of these limiting factors. Remember, Isaiah 52:2. I love that verse. I always use it for myself and in encouraging others. It said, you know, shake thyself from the dust and loose yourself from the bands around your neck. Not somebody else do it for you. You do it for yourself, you know, and don't sit down in the dust. Don't let dust cover you. As she was talking about, you don't use your skills, you know. You know, I know we used to talk about, you know, like sometimes you put a book on a shelf for a long time and the book gathers some dust, you know. There's a common saying that says, well, dust it off. You know, you got to dust it off, you know, because it's been sitting there for so long. And it is so true. Many skills, even natural and spiritual skills. The Lord told his parable also that, you know, supports that lesson. The one that did not use his talent, you know, and he'll end up losing it. It's a, you know, what I call use it or lose it. So, you know, those are powerful, powerful lessons. If we don't use a skill, after a long time, you actually lose it and you have to retrain yourself in the skills. Now, some physical skills stay with us for longer, but, you know, some other skills, I mean, we lose. I know when I was in high school, I spoke French very well. I was very good in the thing. Absolutely. I mean, I was just so good. You know, in fact, when we did the so-called WAEC, whatever, I had the topest grade in it. But, you know, over the years, I didn't use the language and I didn't speak the language and I just lost it. I went to Montreal in 1982. And the time that I was so good with it was like 1971. So 11 years later, after lack of use, I went to Montreal and everybody was speaking French. I'm like, what in the world are they saying? I'm like, my goodness, I could, you know, of course, you know, the colloquial is a little bit different because they speak it with some ways you can't understand. I could still pick up a newspaper or look at an article. I could read it. I could read it because, you know, you can read the words. You take your time to digest what it means and you can understand it, but they speak it so rapidly you can't understand. But I used to understand it even when people spoke it rapidly. But lack of use for 11 years, you know, by the time I got there, I didn't know what in the world they were saying, you know. And I had to start, you know, gingering up myself again to say, my goodness, I thought I knew this language, you know. So, so, so true. Many of those things that Sister Maggie shared with us today. I like the illustration about complacency. Well, I call it being satisfied with the status quo. You know, you just sit there. You don't want any, you know, and I spoke about a man that was not satisfied with the status quo. His name was Gideon. Gideon, you know, he wasn't satisfied. He wanted more. He said, look, you know, if you say everything is good, then how come all these things are happening to us? Because the angel came and told him, well, the Lord is with you. And he said, well, the Lord be with me. And why am I hiding in the corner here from the Midianites? You know, and he challenged the status quo, you know. And the Lord said, well, my goodness, I like that fire in you. Go in that your fire. And you're going to, I can use that. See, the Lord is always looking for that fire in us that will not sit down and be complacent. If Gideon had been a guy who said, well, you know, that was then, but this is now, you know, God has given up on us and we can't really do anything anymore. and he just be satisfied with that situation. The angel couldn't use him. The angel of the Lord said, well, I can use that fire in you. So I love all those things about complacency. And I'm glad, Sister Maggie, thank you that you took your time to share. Nobody should worry about that. I have changed the room to just a review today because I saw the way the spirit was moving and it's just as well. You know, we have tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. Well, you know, what's the rush? You know, soak it what the Holy Spirit is saying and soak it in and enjoy it. So I enjoy that thorough review. In fact, it makes me glad that, you know, whatever the Lord is giving us is working. And I like the way Stamagi always says, doing something to me. You always say something is doing something to her. Well, you know, we give God the praise and the glory. You know, powerful, powerful shares. She used our example and talked about herself, so you can see she's not preaching at us, but she's just, you know, using her own example. But, you know, it's very, very clear if we, you know, if we are at ease, you know, then, you know, things will not go as they should. And I love the, you know, pray until the Spirit on from on high is poured upon you. I love that. Praise God. Thank you so much. There's so many other things I can make a full commentary on her commentary. But, you know, let me give room for others to share. But thank you for not holding back, Sister Maggie. It was a blessing. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. All right. Well, any shares, additional shares in the room? Remember, we're now on the topic of review. So we're just reviewing the two lessons so far in the Epic series, reviewing the rules of engagement and pushing limits. So I changed the room to that because that's how the Holy Spirit is moving. So let's not hurry along. Just stay with what the Holy Spirit is doing. Praise the Lord. Good morning, good afternoon, and welcome. You're welcome to share on this, along these lines. Praise the Lord. While you're thinking about it, let me say a few, one or two other things on part of the things that came out of what Sister Maggie was sharing with us. You know, the Isaiah 32 place that she shared about us not being, you know, although it called out women there. I don't know why it called out women there, but sometimes, you know, I think women need to snap out of it and not think of themselves any less. Because even the Isaiah 52 that I was talking about says, thou captive daughter of Zion. I don't know why we use that phrase. Women are not the only ones that need to snap out of stuff. But, you know, in particular, encouraging the women, you know, you don't need to feel any less. You know, women are not second-class citizens. They are filled with the Holy Spirit, just like everybody. And, you know, and sometimes you know, women can throw down just like anybody. And you've seen it in this room. You know, some of our sisters are so gifted by the Spirit of God. We give the Lord the glory and they can bring that word just like anybody else. You know, so that Isaiah 32, powerful, powerful scripture. And you should read, I think people should read a few verses. Not just the one verse, you know, read it from, you know, the verse 9, you know, all the way through to the verse 15. As she was reading it, I was reading it. And I saw that all of the, you know, it talks about being careless, you know, and just being complacent. That's really what it is. You know, let's not be careless, not a bit complacent. And there is something that we can do. There's always a part that we can do. And there is the goal of looking forward to something. And what are we looking for? You know, if we should stir ourselves up, well, until the Spirit be poured on us from on high. And look at the progression. You got to have the Holy Spirit first. Powerful lesson in that, you know, verse 15. Spirit of God must move before anything, you know, recovery and all these things can happen. But when it begins to happen, you know, it's look at the progression. The Holy Spirit comes, moves upon the situation, you know, the wilderness that was barren and everything before begins to become a fruitful field. And the one that was already fruitful before, you know, becomes so thick with fruitfulness. A forest is a thick one, not just, you know, not just scarce trees here and there or sparse here and there. You know, it's thick. So something that had nothing going begins to get going when the Spirit begins to move. The one that was already going begins to get going even more. And Jesus said the same principles, you know. When we have, you have even more. And God always wants more. This is, you know, we're going to get into, when we get into the increase, we'll talk more about that as well. They all go together. Jesus gave the same lessons. He said, look, you know, in John chapter 15, he was talking, he's talked about, you know, a lot of fruit, not just a little fruit. I mean, the way he said it, you have to really think about it. You know, he said that that's what makes your Father in heaven be glorified. That's what it's his pleasure. When you bear a lot of fruit, when you do more, not just a little. I mean, we can do the little, but do more. Why not do more? And so let me read that to us exactly the way Jesus said it. You know, because in this John 15, he was talking about us bearing fruit. And if we don't bear fruit, he said, well, you know, we might be cut away or cut off and so on. So, but when we bear fruit, you know, that's the one that glorifies the Lord. You know, like it says, you know, I have chosen you and you should not, I mean, you have not chosen me that you should go forth and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. And then he said, you know, herein is my Father glorified in that you bear much fruit, you know, and so shall ye be my disciples. So he wants us to do more. You can read, you know, verse 8. You can also read verse 15, I mean 16 there. You know, herein is my Father glorified that ye bear much fruit. You know, he wants it in abundance, not just a little here, not just, well, I did that then, but now I'm a dry tree. Don't ever think of yourself as a dry tree. That's what Stamagi was talking about, said old age. Well, you know, let me refine that and say, it's not exactly old age, it's just age in general. People just think age is nothing, you know, it's nothing at all. I mean, I love the way that Caleb put it. He said, look, I, you know, 45 years I've been waiting for this thing, but I am still able to do it. I'm 85 now, but, you know, at 40 years old was when I started to believe God and go for the victory. And I can still go in and out for battle and for war at 85, just like I was 40. I mean, how many people can say at age 85, they are still as strong as they were at age 40? You know, I'm not 85 yet, but I don't think I'm as strong as I was 45 years ago. But this is the determination to push. And when he did, he said, look, therefore, give me this mountain. I preached a lesson one time based on that, you know, because the man wanted more. He said, you can't give me this little place. It's not enough. I want this other place. And there are people like that also when they were dividing the land. I said, no, you know, we got to give us more land. The house of Jacob, Joseph came in and said, look, you know, we got to give us more. And I said, well, if you think you want more, then go for it. You know, we're going to talk about that more, you know, in a subsequent lesson. So the Lord is challenging us to push ourselves. And not only physical things, same thing spiritually. I love what Sister Maggie was saying about fasting and so forth. Many of us can't push ourselves to do that anymore. Sometimes some of the things I think about when I want to do a consecration fast is, well, what if I'm, God forbid, hospitalized and my mouth is jacked up somewhere and my feet are jacked up somewhere and I can't eat for days? What am I going to do then? So now, you know, just a little, a few days here and there, you know, do it. You know, you might be in a situation where you can't even do it. Then what? You know, as I often think of that for myself, you know, but these are very, very encouraging words for us to push ourselves. Look at even in material things, you got to push yourself, you know, physical things, spiritual things. You got to push, got to push, we got to push. Jesus said it himself. He said, they that are hungering and thirsting after righteousness, they are the ones that will be filled. You know, it was speaking about that in his Sermon on the Mount thing. But if you are complacent, a little folding of the arms, you know, a little slumber, complacency. I mean, what does the Bible say will come to those people that are like that? Poverty. You know, if you don't, you know, you don't get up and do something, that's not a good thing. In fact, we are told, you know, in Proverbs chapter 6, to go check out, you know, how the ants that do stuff, what they do, you know. This Proverbs chapter 6 is very powerful. In fact, let me read a portion of it to us. Proverbs chapter 6, let me start from perhaps about verse 10 or so, you know. Yet a little slumber, yet a little sleep. That's complacency, folding of the arms, a little folding of the arms to sleep. You just, you know, it says, so shall thy poverty come. In other words, this complacency can lead to losing a lot of grounds. That's what poverty is, losing grounds. Losing a lot of grounds, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth and as a, you know, thy want as an armed man. So he's warning us against this complacency. Fold your arms, you know, sit back, relax, do nothing. This was the story of David. That's how his fall came. At the time when kings went to war, you know, when he was a man of war, he didn't have time for all that nonsense. You know, but now he was at ease in Zion. Sit back, relax. Everybody else went to battle. He was sitting back, relaxing at home, going to the top of his house, enjoying the scenery and so forth. Well, that's where he got into trouble. You know, so a little relaxing, a little folding. He was a man of war. He should have been the one that led the people to war. That's what he used to do. This time around, he didn't do it. And you know what they say about, you know, idle hands. You know, their factory for the devil or whatever, you know, just a little folding of the arms. You know, this is what the Lord said about that thing here in the book of Proverbs, you know, chapter 6. And it's not a good thing for us to fold our arms. You know, we should engage. So that's what this lesson has been about, is engaging. Engaging, you know, in everything, engage. Don't sit back and just let things be. Kosera sura. You know, kosera sura is not going to work. In fact, if you read the first few verses earlier to verse 10 of the one I read in Proverbs, you see where it was using, you know, the company of ants to teach us a lesson. You know, so let me read it from verse 4. Give not sleep to thy eyelids, to thy eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter, as a bird from the hand of the fowler. Now, this kind of sleep is not sleep that is needed for rest. This is sleep of a sluggard. you know, someone that is lazy. That's why he calls it out in verse 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. You know, a lazy person that would not push themselves is what is called a sluggard here. You know, they don't see the urgency or the necessity to do something about the situation, even though they know the situation is not at par, but yet they won't do anything about it. You know, now if you don't know, that's a different story. But when you know and you will not do anything, because they said, look, a lazy person will not even so much as bring his hand from his hand to his mouth. And he's just lazy. And he will find all kinds of excuses. Oh, a lion is in the street today. Oh, it's about to rain. Oh, this and that. Because he doesn't want to push himself, you know. So he said, look, go to this ant. Check out how the ant does. They have no guide. They have no leader. They have no overseer. They have no ruler. Yet, we provide her meat in the summer and gathered her food in the harvest, you know. And how long will thou sleep, O sluggard? How long will you be complacent? That's the message that we heard today. You know, when will you arise out of your complacency? Yeah, that's what that really means. It's all over the scriptures, you know. And then you go into the yet a little sleep, yet a little slumber. So powerful, powerful message today. You know, always be on your guard and never think that you have arrived. Paul said the same thing. You know, I don't consider myself to arrive, but whatever I think was gained to me, I put them behind me and I keep pressing forward. You know, I must keep pressing forward. I got to go for the mark of the prize of the high calling. I can't say I've already arrived. Got to keep pushing. Got to keep pushing. The moment you think you've already arrived, the devil might get you. You know, so let him that thinketh he standeth, is complacent, you know, be careful because he might fall. The devil might get you. You got to be on your guard all the time. You know, there was a time that Jesus was praising Peter for a mighty revelation that he had in Matthew chapter 16. And a few moments later, Peter, you know, was careless. He was just careless. And Jesus was telling them how he's going to Jerusalem and the chief priests and elders would do this and do that to him and so on. And Peter began to say, no, be it far from you, Lord. You're not going to do that. You know, I began to take Jesus and, you know, try to dissuade him from his purpose. And it was a careless moment. The response of the Lord to Peter at that time reveals to us that that was a very careless moment. Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. This was somebody who just a minute ago had a tremendous revelation from the Father. Now, all of a sudden, careless moment. And the devil comes in there and tries to use him against the purpose of God. So we must always be on our guard. And if we take today's lesson as a lesson against complacency, and if that's the only thing we remember, I think that's a good and a full lesson in itself. You know, let's get up, let's push. And the other day she was talking about the push, how the pregnant woman must push. And that's a good lesson too. You know, you got to push. I mean, you're already pregnant, but you don't push, that baby ain't coming out. So, you know, that's the same thing. You know, one of the things the Lord told us when we started this platform 3 years ago was that we must come in here every morning and command the womb of the morning. Well, the womb of the morning tells you the morning is pregnant for something. Well, what's it going to bring for? You got to push it in the direction you want it to go by the word of God. We shape the day. We shape our future by the word of God. This word of God is coming to encourage us and we use it to correct things. Those are enablers. The word of God is a powerful enabler. You can correct things in our lives that, you know, are not right. We can see. Especially when we get a prophetic word, it's a powerful enabler. Throughout the scriptures, we've seen how the prophetic word enabled people to do things that they couldn't do before. You know, the prophetic word encouraged Jehoshaphat to go out and win the battle against the armies that, you know, more than three times his own size. And the prophetic word enabled people who thought they were dying and their last meal to get more and live for a long time. You know, the barrel of meal will not waste. Cruse of oil will not fail. Prophetic word enabled the woman who thought her sons were going to be taken away and didn't know what to do. You know, those are enablers. You know, they could come, the word of God could come to you like that, enable you. This series is all about enablement. You know, enable us to do more. Praise the Lord. Well, I took the time because nobody else was speaking, but I will yield now and you can still speak. Praise the Lord.
Good morning, sir. Good morning, ma'am. Good morning, everyone, and good afternoon. It's really a full one and a big one, a good one. Just while Pastor Yato was talking yesterday, God was reminding me. One of the scriptures that kept on being in my spirit was Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Indeed, for the elderly, there are certain rules that they always state here, there, there, and there. I've learned over time, I don't look at them. And I always tell God, thank you for the strength you've given me. I'm not where I should be, and I'm still asking God for strength. One of the scriptures that really always, always attend to my spirit is therefore Enoch. And one bit about it is, realize that's in Genesis 5:21 to 24. I always ask myself, Enoch walked with the Lord. Verse 22 says, 5:22, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. Just bear with me. 300 years and begat sons and daughters. I always query my spirit, myself. This man walked with God. He had duties like we do. He had so many things to do. He had children to raise. Yet he walked with God. And he superseded many of his generation. His forefather says, you cannot, we're waiting to die. And all that was all he heard. But he walked with God. He was perfect. He became a man that did more than every other. A trailblazer. A man that did not die. A man that superseded every other precedence that have been laid there. And these, a lot of times, always challenge me. One other scripture that God gave me, and also put in my spirit, is the fact that God, that's in 2 Timothy 1:7, it tells me, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He's given me sound mind. And I always repeat that to God. You've taken fear from me. Because sometimes I set out to do something. I want to go pick something. On the way, sometimes I forget. And I tell God, Lord, you have given me the spirit of sound mind. Remind me, remake, and put my thoughts together. Unite my heart, O Lord. I always tell God about this. And I've also found out over time, that when fear crept in, first, for fear to come in, it's always the devil that is at the root of it. For that particular target and goal we put before our eyes, it will show us 1,001 negative things. Negative. It will show us, it will remind us of different things. But the moment we recognize it early and nip it in the bud, we overcome. I've undergone it. I've had an experience of the past. When there I was in the market, that was in Nigeria. I don't know what happened. I was well. I was okay leaving the house. But for whatever reason, I got this attack. And I realized that the breath seems to be easing out of me. I was on my feet. The next I knew was, I saw the devil saying different things. Then I rebuked and I busted into tongues. I didn't care what was around me, but the moment I did that, it was like the devil was kicked out. And I had the relief. One thing that I am trying to learn, and I'm still learning, is the fact that when fear creeps in, it is the devil at the root of it. Yes, 1,001 times we are told, you are old, you may not be able to do it. But I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Then another scripture that came to me while the message was going on is Isaiah 41:10. God always realizes that sometimes fear comes in. And for every way, even when his disciples were on the sea, and he was walking down to them, and they were afraid, he knew that they were afraid, and all he would say is, fear not. God knows where the devil will always want to come in, and we should be fully engaged, knowing that God always says, fear not. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. The Lord will uphold. He will uphold, he will sustain us. He will quicken our mortal bodies. He will sustain us. And that those are words that I love using because I've seen him in action. When we look at our bodies and what it is, the devil will keep us down. He will give us fear. He will make us as if we cannot. But the moment that we can remember, Jesus always say, fear thou not. Fear thou not. He will strengthen us. He will help us. He will uphold us with his right hand of his righteousness. Another scripture in Isaiah also says, I will hold your right hand. I will hold your hand. And that is something, at my weakest point, I always tell the Lord, this is what you said. You said you will hold me. You will uphold me, you will sustain me, you will strengthen me. You will quicken my mortal body. One other bit that God also has sown into my spirit is there in 1 Timothy 6:12-14. He said, fight the good fight of faith. Faith does not look at now, does not look at what I can see. It looks at that target, that goal that I will achieve. That had helped me immensely. Not on spiritual level alone, but even on my job. Even where my body system doesn't want to. Sometimes I look at the goal. What is it I need to achieve? I look at it and I've seen it. And I get my body to get there. And that had helped me a lot. Also, it had helped me spiritually as well. Sister Maggie was talking about fasting. I remember those days. 7 full days. All on water. All we do and we were taught by Franklin Hall's books is we keep under water. We tend to shower, we tend to take water. We shower about twice, if it's very hot, about thrice a day. We stay under water to ensure that our system is rehydrated. I'm asking God for help. Yes, I do a few days, but not like it used to be. I'm asking God for grace. Grace against standing on the status quo. Grace against any form of spiritual laziness. Grace against slothfulness and excuses. The Lord will help us because He admonished us to fight the good fight of faith. We shall lay hold on eternal life, whereunto we are also called, and we have professed a good profession before many witnesses. We will stand, we will hold forth. We will behold the face of our Father, looking unto Him, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for that was set before Him, He endured the cross, He bore the shame, and is now seated on the right hand of God. There also in 1 Timothy 6, verse 13, it says, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, you will give us the grace to fight the good fight of faith. We lay hold on eternal life. We will profess a good profession. We will declare forth your goodness in the land of the living. You will strengthen and quicken our mortal bodies. We will stand victorious in you. Another scripture that came to mind was there in Numbers 14. And that was when Pastor was talking about this aspect beyond the limits. And God just said in my spirit this particular scripture. Joshua and Caleb, out of 12, were the only one who can declare for that we are able. And why? Because they knew the Lord, their God. The others can only look at the circumstance. I'm going to read Numbers 14, 6, and possibly, up to 12. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. That is when the remaining 10 declare for that they are not able to. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. The area where they threw it at the Lord to be his challenge, and they encouraged their brethren, verse 8. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. And that is what God declared at the beginning. Verse 9. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. If we only throw the situations to God, throw it to him as his challenge, he will sort things out for us. He will make it right for us. He will help us. But we need to throw it to God as his own battle. We need to. One way that we can limit the fear is to remember the years, the days of the great arm of the Lord. Those victories he's given us in the past. Those great things he has wrought in us. Those mighty things. Alongside this, I want to give this testimony. Just about 2 days ago, I got to a crossroad on a particular situation. And then I asked God. Initially, my feeling was like, let me ask someone that is related or relevant to that particular situation. But I always bless God. When I get to such instances and I look up to God, he gives me inspiration. He tells me what to do. And he makes it right and easy for me. This particular instance, I wasn't even thinking of the other person that God directed me to. And God says, why don't you ask this person? And then I asked him, I said, can you get this document for me? I need it. And then he said, yes, we can. It will cost you some money though. I said, okay, let's know about it. As at this morning, God got that document for me. I can only just give praise to the Lord, acknowledging him, appreciating his great arm, his great power, his great ability. Sister Maggie, we're not old. I went back to do my education, more of it, after 60. It took me about 6 years because there were 2 masters back to back. But the Lord did it. And he did it in glory, in brilliance, to the glory of his holy name. You can do it, you can do it, and you can do it over and over again. All I can say is I appreciate God. A second testimony that I want to give, because people prayed. People prayed on this platform for Micah. Micah is going to be discharged from the hospital this evening. I heard about it just this morning, and all I can do is just to give praise to God. A third testimony that I have, I can remember the day I brought it to the platform, and I was like, I have someone who tends to be complacent, and I don't feel good about it. And I was asking everyone. And I remember Sister Renita said a few things a few ways of approaching things. Sister Magitu mentioned a few things. When God does his own thing, he does it perfectly well. It may look awkward. It may not be the way we will expect it. But when God turns, all I kept doing is praying and encouraging. Encouraging the young person and talking to her. But I want to bless God. When the switch came, this is something that I've been talking about for about 1.5 years. But when the switch came, it didn't come the way I thought about it. It didn't come the way I was considering it. But God made a beautiful switch and is going to perfect and complete it. I give God all the glory. All these things, when I look back, I just know it's just God. Knowing that without him, we cannot achieve anything. Without him, we are nothing, absolutely nothing, nothing, empty, absolutely nothing. And that power that resurrected Christ will keep us, will quicken us, and will help us. All to the glory of the holy name, to fight the good fight of faith, and to overcome and to win. All to the glory of his holy name, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'll
read
my mind.
Amen. 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 Thank you so much, Sister Mary, for sharing. And we thank God for those testimonies. We give God the praise for answering our prayers in this room. I remember when you did talk about Micah and, you know, how you were concerned about him and everything. And thank God that he's going to be released. Today, you said we're looking forward to that. We thank God for the discussions in the room today and your shares that you have thrown into the mix. The scriptures that the Lord gave you. And some of those, you know, scriptures are for our reminders, you know. The Lord will help us, you know. He's the one that's actually going to help us. We don't need to think that we are going, just because we are trying to bestir ourselves doesn't mean we're going to do everything by our own strength only. It is indeed the Lord that is going to help us. You know, and Stamiri also, you know, reiterated the issue about age. You know, instead of us always looking at ourselves as if we're feeble, some of us are, you know, in the older category, but I don't really... Honestly, yeah, you know, I mean, I know my face is not as looking as young as it looked when I was in my 20s or 30s, but inside of me, I don't even know that I feel any different. I just know, well, you know, it's just a number, you know, because we know the Spirit of God inside of us is ageless. And it's timeless, and it can continue to strengthen us. We thank God for these shares, as you know, throughout this room today. It's so, so powerful. I want to thank everybody for being here. I'm not closing the room yet. Just wanted to thank you for being here. I thank you, Sister Grace, for the scriptures that you're posting today. Thank you for doing that. And we know that you are, everybody's enjoying the series. I am. I hope you are. This is our epic series. And you're going to have to come back to find out the rest of it. We've covered a couple of days now. Today is, we turned out to be a review of the first two lessons. By God's grace, maybe we'll continue with lesson number 3. Tomorrow, and you don't want to miss it. If you miss it for whatever reason, we do encourage that you listen to the replay. Why is that? Well, because we need to hear what the Lord is saying. And it's not saying these things just for saying sake. It's because of what the Lord is saying to us. He knows what he's doing. The Bible says, Jesus said, the good shepherd When he puts out his sheep, he goes before them. He calls them by name. And his sheep hear his voice and they follow him. Well, is the Lord calling you by name? Do these messages have your name on it? Sometimes some people come up and give a testimony and say, well, I know that was just for me. Well, is the Lord speaking to you through these messages? But then let them not slip by us. Let us take hold of the word of God that we have heard and use it to our benefit. Praise the Lord. And we still have a little bit of time left. If somebody else wants to share, please go for it. Thank you again, Sister Mary. God bless you. All right, I see hand raising by Chris. I'm trying to bring them up. Let's see if that works. Oh, yeah, there we are. All right, well, welcome to the platform. I see that you are not a member of the house, so we welcome you as a guest. God bless you. Chris, good morning or good afternoon. Not sure where you are. Praise the Lord. You can open your mic and speak, if you would, please.
Greetings, everyone. Hope you all are doing well. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending on where you are. Pastor, I just want to thank you for your share. It spoke to me in particular, complacency. Sometimes I can be quite comfortable in complacency. But I love it how you admonished us and provoked us to don't be comfortable with it, essentially. It's a takeaway. It's so tempting to be comfortable in complacency. Feels good. I'm just content, right? But then you mentioned Gideon and you mentioned other people, and that's what the Lord calls us to do. Get outside of our comfort zone. And I just want to thank everyone for their shares. They're phenomenal. Yes, first, it's not my first time being here, but I am a guest, but I appreciate the hospitality. So I'm going to be brief. So thank you so much. May the Lord continuously bless you and your families. Whatever your hands touch, may it prosper in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus. Continuously let your light so shine before men and women that when they see your good works, that they give our Father, who art in heaven, the glory and honor that he is so worthy of. Have a wonderful day.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Chris, for coming to say hello. We welcome you. And, you know, by the grace of God, this is a daily platform. We are here every day at the same time. So if you are available, look us up next time as well. We are here every day. This room currently hosts during this time. You know, for us, those who are based in Arizona, it's always the same time for us throughout the year because we don't undergo time change. Mountain Standard Time, it starts at 5 a.m. in the morning. And that's currently the same as 6 a.m. Central and 7 a.m. Eastern Time. We try to start the day off with a couple of hours of fellowship. For me personally, you know, it's hard for me to get around to doing something like this in the evenings because once I get to my other work, that's completely unpredictable, so unpredictable, you can never tell. You know, some days, you know, like this week has been a long week. You know, a couple of days this week, You know, I started walking right after we finished this room, you know, and I was still at work till past 10 p.m. my time. Because, you know, just things happen. It's not all the time, but that's the nature of our work. Some stuff happens and you have to stay with it until you resolve the issues. But, you know, when we get this fellowship done early in the morning, it's a booster, actually. And we're able to commit. God hands us a new day every day. Well, we give him back 10% of that day right off the bat. You know, and so it's a good day. It's a good thing to this fellowship in the morning, just letting everybody know that's why we're doing it early in the morning. And those of you who have been joining us, thank you so much. I know a lot of people have to make that extra effort. Well, that's part of the push too. Got to make that extra effort to get up and come on in. Praise the Lord. I know two or three days ago, you know, I was up to that, you know, after midnight my time, and I still had to get up at 3:30 a.m. That's when my alarm goes off to get ready for this room. And that particular day, I was like, no, I'm not doing the 3:30 thing. Let's make it 4 a.m. But still, you know, it was less than 4 hours, you know, of sleep. But that's, you know, you got to push yourself. Praise the Lord. And thank God for the strength. You know, it's a commitment that we have made by the grace of Almighty God. He gave us a charge. And he said, have I not commanded you? Therefore, be strong and of a good courage, and let not your hands be weary. You know, and arise and, you know, take your position every morning on that wall. That's right. And we got to, you know, we got to be there. So for everybody that's, you know, maybe new or coming in here and there, we're here every morning. Join us as you can, or every day, depending on what time of day that falls for your time zone. Today, we are into this room for 2 hours. That's long enough. We're going to wrap it up here, and we'll be back tomorrow by the grace of God. Hopefully, tomorrow we can take a little more time on Saturday. Hopefully some more people will be relaxed. Sometimes on Saturday, people tend to sleep in as well. Because that's the only day. Because they have to get up early every day, go to work. But if you come on in, I'm sure the Lord will make it worth your while. We look forward to seeing you tomorrow. In the meantime, have a blessed day. Remember, you know, to engage and keep pushing, and by the grace of God, you know, push with the force of spiritual arms, not just, you know, physical arms. We'll push with the force of spiritual arms, and the Lord will, you know, put you over the top. Praise the Lord. Good morning and good afternoon, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow by the grace of God at the same time. Have a great day, everybody. The room is now closing in 5, 4, 3, 2, and...